we go again, it's the game we love.
Fame, game.
Keep our minds on the game.
All the game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and hoping that your whining is coming off as the joke it actually is. No, really, I'm just kidding. I'm your host, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you doing, Nathaniel?
I'm doing all right as well, thank you. As a reminder, you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system on kboo.fm. Just click the Chat With Us button in the lower right corner of the window. Before we get started, we want to let you know that we are in the midst of our Camp KBOO Summer Membership Drive, focusing on the community and making Camp KBOO summer memories. To support, sneak out of the cabin in the middle of the night, borrow a canoe, row to the middle of the lake, then go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to become a monthly sustaining member today. Help us reach our fundraising goal of $50,000. Our guest today is Chaz Marler. Chaz has been in board gaming media for 10 years? I'm not sure. I forgot to ask you how long it was. Chaz, we're going to test if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Hooray!
Yes, this is working. Amazing. We can hear you too. 10 years, question mark, making YouTube videos for the Dice Tower, Watch It Played, and his own Pair of Dice Paradise. He also created Game Night Picks, a website designed to help you decide what the heck you're going to play at your next game night. Welcome to the show, Chaz.
Oh, thank you guys very much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here.
While you were mentioning that, I did some mental math, and I think we're going on 12 years now. Oh, my goodness.
I think that's longer than I've been in the hobby, so that's pretty awesome. I don't know how that makes you feel now. I probably shouldn't have said anything.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, how did you get into the hobby?
Oh, well, you know, I was thinking about it, and board games were always kind of present growing up in my life. I had, like, in grade school, this Pac-Man board game. I think my parents got me one about Donkey Kong. I actually have a lot of video game-themed board games for some reason. So they were always kind of present, but I never really thought about it until around, 2012 is when I got back into the hobby big time. And it was just one of those things where I would go to work, and then I would come home from work and I would do more work. And my wife looked at me one day and said, "You are a husk of your former self. You need a hobby." So I decided to reinvestigate board games, and just was blown away by how much they had evolved and been, you know, just grown since, you know, the Pac-Man and Donkey Kong board games of my youth. And it's just been, it's just been just a decade plus of discovery, you know, ever since.
And did you have a game that hooked you, or a favorite game when you were getting back into the hobby?
I got back into the hobby right around the time the first version of HeroScape was released. And for those who don't know, HeroScape is a game that has miniatures. It's kind of tactical combat. You have your little minis, and you make a group, and they're on a hex grid. But the terrain and everything is all this molded plastic. And so it has this amazing toy factor and table presence. And it intrigued me, but I actually didn't allow myself to, like, invest and purchase any of the HeroScape stuff for about a year and a half when I first got into it. It's like, oh, I'll get other little games, because I know if I get HeroScape, I'm going to go full bore and go overboard. And eventually, a year and a half, I let myself start to invest some. And yeah, sure enough, I mean, here's where I am now. So...
When did HeroScape come out?
It must have been between 2011, 2012, I think, is when the first wave of it, the first edition of it was coming out.
Is it still coming out? There's still more editions being released for it?
Since it's all plastic, it became kind of not cost effective to do. So they discontinued it about 5 or 6 years after it came out. And so it was gone. And then just last year, A new publisher picked up the IP for it, and they've started to reproduce it. So just within the last 12 months, a whole new edition, new characters, new minis, new terrain. They're starting to create a whole new series, second edition of it. So it's back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And how did you find your gaming group when you were back in the hobby?
Well, I moved to a new town, and kind of, you know, when you move to a new town, you don't, it's hard sometimes to make new friends and find people. So I didn't really have anyone really to hang out with. So I actually visited my local library and went to our little town's town hall, found out we have a community center, and I actually started my own game group. And I was that desperate for, you know, other people to play with. But it was a great experience, and it has led to some of friendships that still are going strong. In fact, I got together with some friends just last night, and all three of them are people I met through that one little game group I started a dozen years ago.
That's incredible. And I know James has a question here, but are you the type of person who's like the instigator of things? Like, or were you going out of your comfort zone to do that, to just go out and try to find the community?
Oh boy, howdy. No, I am a massive introvert. I am, during the pandemic, being locked in my house for a year and a half, 2 years, we were about 18 months into it. And I turned to my wife, I said, I could do another 18 months of this. I could do this standing on my head. So I was perfectly happy. I'm perfectly happy just being at home and having a few close friends come over. But it was one of those things where I remember I made the conscious decision. I wanted to push myself out. I wanted to expand those boundaries. And I wanted to have these experiences and these stories. And so it was it's something that was definitely a challenge to do. And still has its own kind of, you know, social anxiety challenges sometimes. But boy, howdy, it's been very rewarding and fulfilling to do.
Yeah, so you said you've been you got back into board games 12 years ago. What helped you move from just playing board games and getting into the media of board games, like starting up a YouTube channel? What made you want to do that?
That was all rolled into the whole discovering I was a husk of my former self and had lost my personality. That was all kind of tied together. In high school, during one of my high school summer jobs, I saved up my money and bought one of those big VHS camcorders. And I would force my friends to come over after school, and I would direct them and record videos. And I'd make them come over until they weren't my friends anymore. But we made a collection of all of these. You know, we had like, oh man, 6 or 7 cassette tapes just full of these videos we had made. So filming and stuff had always kind of also been in the background too. And so when I was like, okay, I'm going to get a hobby. I enjoy board games, but also, I've always enjoyed kind of making video about it. And one of the ways I got back into the hobby around 2011, 2012 was there were starting to be YouTube channels with board game reviews and things. That's one of the things that opened the door for me and helped me discover a bunch of games. Like, oh my gosh, people are talking about board games on YouTube. I'll subscribe to all these different channels. And then of course, getting into it and with that other background, it's like, oh, you know what? I kind of have that creative spark welling up in me again. I'm going to go grab a camera and I'm going to start making something creative and have a creative outlet to make videos about board games too. So it all kind of fed on each other during that whole time period.
So you had mentioned a couple times being a husk of your former self and losing your personality. And like, this is actually a fear that I have. Do you feel that board games are becoming your personality and like that's the only thing people associate you with? Or do you feel like you have a rich enough other life that you're like, okay, I'm nobody's just judging me on that?
I think that I am talented enough to pull off pretending I have enough of another personality.
Oh, good answer.
So I straddle that line. No, it's what's nice is that the relationships that you can form, you know, during getting together with people, because board gaming is a social hobby. Even if you play online on something like Board Game Arena, you're still playing usually with someone else. And so these stories and these relationships that can form can expand outside the realm of just the board games. You know, there's quite a few people might have met them playing board games, but we've discovered with other overlapping interests and have developed friendships that, you know, even when we're not playing games, we still enjoy each other's company. At least I enjoy theirs. I can't really speak for them, I guess.
So you, this is something I wanted to bring up, because you said you are an introvert and that you can get anxiety from these big things, which is what I feel, especially going into the big, coming into his house and seeing the big board games laid out. I just get filled with anxiety and I'm like, I just want to go home. What have I done to myself? But you've managed to jump over that and keep going. Did that ever, your introvert anxiety ever sneak into, like, when you was making videos? Like, you had to fight it and, like, battle it? Or did the board game, love for board games, beat it?
It did kind of help defeat it, for sure. I will admit, it took a while to not feel ridiculous talking to the camera lens. In fact, it took about 3 years for me to get really comfortable to feeling like I was just talking to another person when I'm staring into that little glass eye of the camera. And so, it's like, what am I doing? Who am I talking to? This is, you know, what? And so it really can be a mental place you got to get into sometimes. But I remember the very first local game day. Our local town here in Eugene has a really great board gaming community. And there used to be, before the pandemic, there were like quarterly game days where 100 to 200 people would show up. We'd rent out a hotel ballroom and everyone would come. And I remember the very first one of those I went to, I was all excited. You know, I was, you know, just getting back into the hobby. I wanted to play everything that came across the table. And so I was all jazzed up, and I got there and that social anxiety kicked in. And for the first half of the game day, I just stood against one of the walls, kind of just watching people, afraid to jump in and interrupt someone or, you know, invite myself, the audacity of inviting myself to join your game. So I kind of over time have picked up some, you know, mental tricks or techniques that I personally do to kind of help get over that anxiety that I still deal with sometimes. Like, when there is a local game day, one of the things I always do is I get there like immediately when it opens, so that everyone hasn't formed into little groups, so I can, you know, don't have to interrupt anyone. I can be there right when people are forming those groups, and that, you know, just little things like that have gone a long way towards easing that anxiety.
That's a great idea.
And speaking of game days, we can pivot into game night picks, because one thing that you got to do at game days is figure out what you're going to play. So, like, What prompted you to create a website for helping you pick games?
Well, several things, and this is a good pivot, because one of those things was another way to beat that anxiety is like, okay, if I go in with a plan and I know what I'm doing, that's going to help as well. So that was actually part of it. But another part of it is, I think any gamer who's married, especially married to someone who's not quite as into gaming, board gaming and tabletop gaming as they are, when your spouse comes up to you and out of the blue says, hey, you want to play a game? You know, the immediate rush of adrenaline and, oh my gosh, it's happening.
Very and so relatable. The
first thing, absolutely. First thing when that happens to me, first thing I do is I run to my game shelves. I go, okay. What do I want to play with her? Oh, I want to play this one. And I want that one too. Oh, I want to introduce her to this. Oh, she'd like this one. And honestly, I would inevitably end up spending like an hour at the shelf trying to pick what is it I want to play. And then I would more often than not kind of run out of time and then end up playing nothing. And that's a bummer. So one of the things that spurred making this website was, okay, I want to have a list, a rolling list I prepared ahead of time. So when she comes up and she wants to play something, I kind of know. And it's like, hey, you know what I should do? I should allow her to come in and kind of rank what she'd want to play as well. Okay. And then I could kind of see what bubbles to the top. And then I had another friend locally who he and I get together every 3 to 6 months. So it's just enough time that we're excited to get together, but just far enough apart that we forget what we were excited to get together and play. So we would always get together. It's like, what was that game 2 months ago we wanted to play? I can't. So that was, you know what? I should take this list I'm making and make a version that my friend and I can use to have kind of our rolling list. And then there was another friend from high school. It's like, oh, you know, I'll do that with him. And after a while, it finally dawned on me, oh, maybe other people would find this helpful too. And so I, last summer, I rebuilt the website as the Game Night Picks website, which is designed to people in that situation where you have a game group and you maybe have a list of, you know, 5-20 games or something that your group wants to play. Everyone can suggest them to this master list, and then everyone can kind of upvote what they want to play most, and whatever bubbles up to the top, you can kind of go in with that plan, knowing, okay, here's the idea of what we're going to play, and either go play it, or like what happened last night when I was with my other friend, we went in and someone said, hey, I brought this, and we all played that instead. But either way, the website is there to help.
You had the option if you needed it.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to do a quick reset here. So you're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're talking with Chaz Marler, the creator of Game Night Picks, a website to help you plan your next game night. Before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind everyone that today's not the first day. We are ongoing in our Camp KBOO summer membership drive. You be quiet, James. Focusing on the community and making memories. Visit us at kboo.fm, and while you're there, be sure to click on that donate button. James, why don't you take the next question with your sassy mouth?
So we're talking about the Game Night Picks. I was going to ask, like, because for people like me who are new into the hobby and don't understand these, haven't looked into these things, it helps you pick a game by everyone voting for what game? Is that the general?
Exactly. Hopefully it's as straightforward as that. So how, in a little more granular detail. So if I want to, say the three of us, I want to set up a game night. So I can go to the website and I can create a game night with the three of us in it. And you'll get like an invitation code or link to it, and you can join. And then all three of us can go and suggest games that we want to play. And the website connects to the big master Board Game Geek website, which is like a database website of every single board game on the planet. So it can go and any game that's listed on Board Game Geek through the magic of technology and their API. Any game that's listed on Board Game Geek can be suggested to be added to a game night event that you make on Game Night Picks. So then we add some games, bloop, 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 bloop. And then for each one, you'll have a list of all the games we have suggested. And you can either drag and drop games you want up to the top of the list or click a button to, you know, sort them. And for each one, you can also kind of have another little couple of options for like how excited you are, your preference for that game, either like a little, you know, basically there's some emoticons of, you know, like, I'm really excited for this game, or maybe just a really sad face of I've played this before and I don't want to play it again. So you kind of have some more visual cues as you're scanning the list of what everybody's preferences will be for the night.
And you can use this for like connecting together over games for like conventions, so you can take it for anywhere.
Yes, you can. What's really neat about that is right now, this week, the Origins Game Fair is going on in Columbus, Ohio, which I am not at this year, but that's okay. But a bunch of my friends are, and they actually set up some little game nights for what they all want to play once they get to Origins together. So they're at the convention and they're going through the list right now without me, but at least I'm really proud and happy that they're getting to use, you know, getting to use the list.
You're there in spirit, you know, they're using your tool.
And that's true. In a way, I get to be there in a very very untrue way, but still a way.
And you're here with us. Some might say that might be better. I haven't met those people, but some might say.
This is like my own personal convention right here.
Yeah.
That's right. It's kind of a tool for connecting people or just reconnecting people. But I did want to ask you about like gaming with strangers. You mentioned your social anxiety, and there's all sorts of I'm afraid of gaming with strangers, to be frank. I don't know what their personalities are going to be like, and I tend not to take games super seriously, and I'm afraid of the people who do. So, one, like, how do you approach gaming with strangers? And two, as sort of a, for lack of a better phrase, notable personality in the board gaming sphere, do you feel like the parasocial imbalance when you do, if you do, game with strangers?
Oh boy. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because sometimes when you sit down to play a game with a stranger, it's like almost like dancing with a new partner sometimes. Like, oh, okay, this is important to you. These moves are okay. Oh, this is how we're going to do this part. Okay. And sometimes you kind of have to adapt and empathize with where they're at, which I think is a big part of it. You know, sometimes you sit down at a game with someone and you're like, oh, they're going to drive, and I'm here for a lot of the ride. That's okay in some situations, but other times people want to be more led. So I think you know, whether it's your first game or you're kind of a seasoned veteran, having kind of empathy and kind of seeing where the other players are at goes a long way to reduce those, you know, barriers of discomfort and anxiety that can pop up. There's the possibility sometimes of, you know, sitting down at a game and you know, no one really knows how to play it, but they're all too anxious or like a little afraid to not be the guy who knows how to play. So you kind of turn into this really weird kind of social experiment of everyone kind of fumbling through something. And sometimes it can help to have the courage to just say, hey, you know, let's back up and let's stop and let's just reset everything. And you know, and sometimes when someone has the courage to do that, it can let everybody go, oh, okay, the stakes here are super low. We're here to have fun, really. And the fact that I don't remember, you know, how I'm supposed to move this little meeple on the board into which space, that doesn't matter. We're all on the same page. And so kind of just being able to step back and do that sometimes, I think, goes a long way towards helping everybody feel comfortable at the table.
Do you think because you're big in the gaming media, that people expect you to know all the rules to all the games or how to play certain games, and they just kind of come to you expecting that?
That is definitely something that can feel like a burden sometimes. I think that, well, when there is kind of a public game day, one that's more, you know, outside my normal sphere of friends, there's definitely that pressure to go in and know your stuff. And know, okay, yeah, whatever game I'm going to teach, I better be able to teach this thing, or else people might look at me and go, do you enjoy this hobby? Do you play games?
Chaz got all the rules wrong. What's this guy? Yeah. Know? Okay,
this time not on purpose. though I have been in the position. I've been fortunate position to be able to be at like a convention, sitting next to other YouTubers who are far bigger than I am. And they're like, okay, I've been wanting to play this game forever. This is great. Oh, hey, you. They pick strangers out of the crowd. Come play this. And the people stand there, all right. They get the box, they open up the rule book, page one. And just, oh, okay. I guess, you know what? I'm getting in my own head too much sometimes. And just pulling out the rule book sometimes is perfectly fine.
So one thing I wanted to highlight in Game Night Picks, because it's there, and so that means there was at least some demand for it, was the rules for game night feature on the website, because I know people who have very strict rules about like food around games and about how you handle cards, and I would be lying if I haven't sat there and watched people handle my decks of cards in ways that just make my skin crawl, and I try to be generous about it. I think you're mentioning empathy earlier really hit home for me, so I appreciate that. Why did you feel the need to include a rules for game night thing? And is there anything that I don't know, is there anything that you think about that's like weird that people do, or is it like I don't know?
I can answer that question. First, hold on, let me just make myself a little mental note here. Don't riffle shuffle cards around Nate.
Okay, got it. It's funny, I'm okay with that. It's the holding them up to your hand, your mouth, or like when you put it on the table with a little bend and a snap. Those are the things. When you hold it up to like your face and you're touching them with your mouth, it's greasy like those sorts of things. It.
Well, see, that right there, you answered your own question. That's why the rules thing exists.
Well, people like never... you, Nate.
Because of you, there's a rule. That's... But no, yeah, it's...
I'm tired of hearing that.
Pardon?
I said I'm tired of hearing that.
But you never, I have been in situations where people are like, oh, let's not riffle the cards, or let's sleeve everything, or hey, no food at the table, or hey, when everybody arrives, we have a little box by the front door. Everyone put your phone in that box, and we're not going to have phones at the table even. So you never, like I said, dancing that dance is like, oh, okay, these are kind of the rules of this step that we're doing. And so anything that you can do to kind of set expectations and let people know kind of, what's expected of everyone, that can go a long way too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I just think, I wanted to illuminate that issue for our listeners who may or may not be into the board game hobby and think, just show them how weird we can be.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's just the beginning.
So, like I say, you've been, since you've been doing the videos of board gaming, you've been in the board game world a lot more. The relationship with board games change with you at all? Like, do you ever like get not want to play a board game? You're like, oh, I had to work and make videos for this board game for the past hours and hours. I don't want to play board games anymore.
Anything that you do professionally or semi-professionally, and anything that you do for work, is no matter how fun your job is, there's going to be parts of it that are work. If you can get past that, and that goes a long way. A friend of mine who also makes a living doing board game media on YouTube, his point of view, he is the biggest workaholic I think I have ever met, and he will be up, he'll be up from daybreak all the way to 3 a.m. sometimes producing videos and everything, but he enjoys it. And one day I was like, how is it that you can keep going like that? How do you keep recharging your batteries? And he mentioned that, no matter how much work this is, or how much of a grind it can be, it doesn't affect my love of just playing board games, because I find the work so personally fulfilling. So if you can find the personal fulfillment in what you're doing, it helps to kind of create a separation where you can still, enjoy the hobby, because you're not just draining that creative battery and allowing the thing to become an albatross around your neck of, oh my gosh, this thing I used to love, now I it's always there and I hate it. So I think that type of mental compartmentalization can help.
Well, I think that's a fantastic note to go out on. We're just about out of time. Chaz, thank you so much for taking the time for us today.
It's been lovely having you.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kboo.org, and you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. Remember to help KBOO reach our $50,000 Camp KBOO Summer Membership Drive goal by showing your support today at kboo.fm/give, or by texting KBOO to KBOO to 44321. You can even mail us a check, just like a letter to your kid at camp, to 20 Southeast 80th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97213. Every donation is appreciated. What did I say?
80th.
8th Avenue. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but the picks for your game night. Have a good one.